Father, you are our victory. The blood that you paid, your cross, once a symbol of torture and death, now a symbol of victory. We attribute everything, all glory and praise to you. May you be honored tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, please open your Bible this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. I want you to know that I love this church, and I love you. Some of the words I share tonight are going to be rather hard teaching, but they're so necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus says this. Paul says this. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore," verse 27, "eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come." Oh, to be a fly on the wall to hear what those other directions were after such a speech. Paul in verse 31 says, if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. The church at Corinth had a lot of problems, had a lot of issues about treating the sacred, that which was holy, as normative. They treated the sanctified, the Lord's Supper, as trivial, as something that wasn't important. They trivialized it, they made it commonplace, they argued over it, and in many things in Corinth, it was a broken church as they were so focused upon their own desires, their own priorities, that Paul at multiple points had to correct the Corinthian church and say, no, if you do this, you are profaning the name of Christ. You're bringing dishonor upon the name of Christ. But he reserved his harshest judgment concerning the Lord's Supper. He brings it back in verse 23. He says, this is what I received from the Lord Jesus, what I am also delivering to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed for you, said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus gives lots of commands in the New Testament, lots of instruction, lots of reminders. There is only one thing in the entire New Testament where Jesus personally says, do this in remembrance. One thing, the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul says twice, this is my body which is for you, do this in remembrance of me. It's a very personal plea. I'm going tomorrow to give my life for you. Will you do this in remembrance of me? This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim my death proclaim what I came here to do. I did not come to deliver sonnets on the Sermon on the Mount. I came to offer myself as a sacrifice for you. So will you do this in remembrance of me? I confess that I think I failed as a preacher and as a pastor of this church in this area. We have 2,000 people that come Sunday morning, and some have very legitimate reasons not to be here. But we probably have less than 500 that made time in their schedule to remember their Savior. Perhaps they don't know how important and sacred this is, and in that I have failed in communicating this. This is not just a memorial service. This is a sacred act of worship. By the way, unless you lie to the Holy Spirit's face, is the only disobedience that is met with illness, weakness, and even death when we profane it. So this is much more than a memorial. This is remembering Christ. But how many tonight found their TV show or the football game or preparing for the busy week at school more important than remembering their Lord? And you say, Pastor, you're being really hard. I'm sorry. I feel like I would not be preaching God's word, because Paul here is saying, he says that some of you, because you have not treated it with the sanctity it deserves, he says it very clear, verse 30, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. The Father crushed his Son so that the outflow of his blood on the cross would cover our sins, but we can't find time to remember. Verse 27, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Unworthy means careless. This isn't sacred. This isn't serious. You're coming at it and you're treating it as just simply a religious rite. But if you drink it in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty. You will be guilty concerning the body and the blood that was given to you. You will be guilty concerning before the throne of God for not recognizing Christ like you should be recognized. Verse 28, so therefore, here's the warning, let a person examine himself. Examine here, it's interesting, there's several different words in the Greek that are used here to judge, examine, but they all have different nuances, and this one is, let a person examine himself, make a critical examination of something, to determine it's genuine, to seek before the Lord. Let me examine myself, am I coming before the Lord with pure intentions? Am I coming before the Lord truly as an act of thanks and worship? For anyone, verse 29, who eats and drinks without discerning the body, without discerning your own flesh, your own life, eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's heavy. There's many things in the Christian life where commands are given and we fail and we make mistakes, but this, if we come in a hypocritical manner or in a careless manner before the Lord, we drink judgment on ourselves. There is serious weight to these words. Worship of God is not some sort of hypothetical, mental, and only spiritual exercise. The profaning of the worship in the Lord's Supper actually has physical results, that in verse 30, that is why many of you are weak, ill, and some has taken, the Lord has taken home early. Because he will not let you continue to defile the holy with your disobedience. I love the grace of God. Can I get an amen with that? We like the grace of God. That he loves us in our frailty. But when we take what we have been given and trample the holy with our carelessness, Father's patience over his son that was murdered for you, for me. There are limits. And that's a heavy truth. It's a warning. It's a reminder of how sacred and how precious the son's life was that it was given for you, for me. And when we treat it lightly, it grieves the Father's heart. And how much it must grieve him when we in our American busyness can't find time to remember him. And proclaim the word is out loud, to proclaim, to testify. But I'm here only because a merciful God loved a wretched sinner. Verse 31, but if we judged ourselves truly, judge, the word of paying careful attention to judging our heart, we would not be judged. If we were to take time to look in the mirror of our life and say, coming to communion is not just an event of remembrance. It's a check and balance in our life that when we come to communion, it's a time when we are supposed to inspect our heart and to see, is there any outstanding sin? Is there any outstanding disobedience in our life that we have not confessed before the Lord? So that when we come to take the Lord's table, that it's a moment to say, how can I partake in the blood and in the body if I am harboring this sin, by the way, that the Son was crushed for? It's not just a memorial. It's an event where we tangibly experience the grace of God and being reminded about what we have been forgiven from. And if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. The word here, verse 31, it says judged in English, and at the end of the verse it says judged. But those are two different Greek words. The first one, evaluate personally. But the last one, verse 31, this one is to engage in a judicial process. If we examine ourselves truly, then we would not be judicially pronounced by the Father of Heaven for our lack of treating the holy holy. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined. God does bring discipline. I discipline my children. We've all been disciplined in various manners. Discipline to assist in the development of a person's ability to make appropriate choices. And yes, weakness, illness, and God's judgment on your life has the purpose of refining and disciplining you to be able to understand that which is holy. And as a warning and as a reminder that we do have a holy God, and when we trespass the holy, we trespass on holy ground. The writer of Hebrews said, our God is a consuming fire. One that should make us reverence him in fear and awe. I thank God for his love and his grace and mercy. But oftentimes we're so quick to embrace the grace and forget the holy. And to forget the just. Examine your own lives, Paul says. We've been talking about missions. This statistic really caught me off guard. Pew Research did a study about how Americans feel about religious groups. And they had what they called a feeling scale. So they would talk to a certain group, either evangelical Christians or Catholics or Mormons, and then they would say, tell us on a scale from 0 to 100 how you feel, what your personal emotions feel like about this certain group of people. How Catholics feel about Jews, how Jews feel about Catholics, and they would rate one another, very scientifically done. Now, before we do this, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Jesus said what? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. This shows how much the American church is failing in this area. When asked about Muslims specifically, people from Muslim backgrounds, people who come from Muslim countries, Catholics, Jews, atheists, agnostics, people who would be considered the most liberal lifestyles, those who would be hostile to God in every way. And do you know that in that study, evangelical Christians came dead last, rating only a 30 with how they feel about Muslims. In other words, atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, Catholics feel greater emotions of love and acceptance for these people than those of us who have been most deeply loved by God. These statistics show that the evangelical church is, out of all of these groups, the most prejudiced. That's hard-hitting. Why is it? Remember, I love you. You do remember that, right? Why is it that the number one enemy that the church faces, we are not loving them, we're meeting them with emotions of hatred? On that scale, that 30, the average across all of these evangelical Christians, evangelical conservative Bible-believing Christians, a 30 means that when you hear Muslim, you have feelings of hostility and bordering on hatred. Because we care more about our political situation and our personal comfort zones, instead of loving our enemies like Jesus loved us. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? I hope it does. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But we're not in the business here of padding our comfort zones. We're about following the gospel of Jesus Christ and treating him with the worship he deserves. And that's hard. And so we have to evaluate our lives and say, where have I made the holy and I have treated Christ as simply another event in the week instead of willing to be sacrificing and putting him first and obeying even when it's hard? Jesus paid it all. We song sings, Jesus, thank you that you died for me, but according to the survey, I don't really care if you died for them. Judge yourself truly, Paul says. Examine your heart. Do we have prejudice in our heart? Do we have bitterness, even among fellow believers in the body? Do we have things that before God remain unconfessed? If you're a believer, you're about to partake in the Lord's Supper. He says, do this in remembrance of me. But please be aware, if you come with hypocrisy in your heart, thanking God for his grace and forgiveness, and yet refusing to give forgiveness to him, harboring sin in your life, you face judgment and guilty before the throne of God. If you can't reconcile that, I would tell you, don't take the supper. Say, Pastor, should any of us think that we're imperfect? Yes, we are imperfect, and God knows that. The question is not your imperfection. The question is our rebellion. Judge yourself truly as we partake right now. We have several minutes. Look in the mirror of the Holy Spirit. To ask for forgiveness, God. As a pastor and as a preacher, that I have failed in proclaiming your word and elevating and recognizing how serious this is and how many people perhaps don't realize that. And there are so few comparatively who are here to remember. There are some who cannot be here because of physical infirmity us to judge ourselves truly. Any prejudices, any bitterness, any unconfessed sin, may we lay it down and seek forgiveness. And if there is someone here who cannot partake, I pray that you would move upon their heart to do what needs to be done so that they can come with a pure heart. The instruments are going to play. The men are going to begin to distribute the elements. As the instruments play, use this time to judge yourself truly. we have missed you in the distribution of the elements, if you would please just slip your hand up. We'll make sure everybody is served. Gentlemen, I believe all of us serve. Jesus said that night when he was betrayed, "Do this in remembrance of me." This is Jesus' personal request of us, to remember the cost, to remember the sacred nature of his death. Verse 24 in 1 Corinthians 11, when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this." In the same way, he also took the cup. And after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Not the covenant of the law. Not a covenant that is dependent upon you, but it's a covenant that I am forging with my blood. Going once and for all into the Holy of Holies and paying on the holy cherubim, the holy seat, not with the blood of goats and lambs, but with the blood of the Son of God himself. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. Again, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let's be proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes in remembrance of him. That's all we need to do. The Lord's table is beautiful. It's holy. It reflects and honors that which was given, the life of the Son himself. It's holy, so we treat the holy seriously because God does. Because God is holy. So even as we walk this week, we have done this in remembrance of him. And we also proclaim his death. Let us treat what we have been given like the incalculable worth that it is. So if you would, stand with me this evening. Worship team, this is unrehearsed. We're going to do holy, holy, holy. End with a good, solid reminder, a cappella, of our holy God. But aren't you thankful that a holy God in his grace loved us? So we rejoice in his love and his grace. But a true appreciation of grace and love upholds that which is holy. So let's sing.
Our song shall rise to thee.